Well, if that's been your experience, you could say amen. Indeed, the Lord is wonderful to us and continues to bless us and to use us. When I was a younger man, I could probably keep up with this pace a little better than I can now, but it wasn't my design or my will, but it just seems like it is the Lord's will that the older that I have become, the more responsibility he's given to me. If you would have told me a number of years ago that I would be going to Africa for year after year, that would have been too exotic for me to have understood. And yet here we are, almost, we do it almost without thinking now. It just seems to be something that's a part of it. And then all of these pastors who, in fact, I got a text from Newton Chilingulo in Malawi, and he says, well, we'll see you in July. And I said, no, I'm going to Zambia. He said, well, they told me you were coming here. And I said, so opportunity after opportunity. Ellie was telling me that Ellie O'Lowry there in Mumias, that they're going to begin shortly an 8-day teaching of pastors and church planters. They call it Helpers Helping Helpers, and they will go 8 days straight. Here's their schedule, from 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and then they go back at 8 o'clock to midnight. Then they do it for 8 days in a row. They do that once a month. And then, not to mention all the other places he's gone, after they told me the schedule, I said, man, I feel somewhat ashamed of myself that I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing what these guys are doing. They are investing their whole being. They are spending and being spent for the kingdom of God, for the church of Jesus Christ. And so when we support and help these people, our support is being multiplied exponentially. And I didn't choose this. I would never have chosen Africa. I would have chosen other places to go. But this is where the Lord chose it. This is where he's deposited us, it seems like. You who are members of this church are giving me the opportunity to do that through your gracious allowance of time and your giving of money. And I do appreciate it. And may the Lord use all of that and give me the strength to continue to do what I must do as he opens doors. I don't want to ever not go through a door the Lord opens. I don't want to kick down any doors and don't want to volunteer for doors. But if the Lord opens the doors, then I think we need to be faithful to enter in and to do what he would have us do. For those things that are done for God in this world shall never pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but those things that are done for Christ will never pass away. And so may God bless us in that. Acts chapter 22, Paul has to give a defense. He has been accused of violating the law of God, of speaking against the traditions of the fathers, and so he gives this defense. Now you'll notice that in the defense, that basically what Paul is doing is giving the gospel, but not giving the gospel in some kind of abstract way or some kind of way where he's kind of standing back from it, just simply giving the elements of the gospel, but he is giving the gospel as he has experienced the gospel. And really, that's the only testimony and witness we can really give. The only witness as Christians we can really give is the witness of what God has done in us. What God has, that this experience gospel, not just giving some kind of anecdote about your life and how things have happened or come to you or things you've done, the education you've gotten or the job that you perform, that's not the gospel, but the experience gospel in your life. That is what Paul is referring to. And it's going to be a defense here. It's going to be a defense before Agrippa. It is going to be what he relies upon. And he's not going to reason with them. He's not going to enter into philosophical rationality. He's going to appeal to the gospel. And so here's what he says. Men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now. And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he says, look, I'm verily a man. It's all I am. I'm not an angel. I'm not some extraordinary creature. I'm a man like you are a man. And I was born a Jew in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, which was a very popular and populated city. And so he's not someone from nowhere, but he's a person from somewhere. And they knew. And yet brought up in this city. I was born there, but I was brought up in Jerusalem under the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest rabbi in the history of Judaism. I sat under his feet, and I taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. It was complete. It was about the law. And I was zealous. He writes early, you know, later he writes that indeed he bears witness, he bears the Jews witness that they are zealous for God, but not according to knowledge, the knowledge of the gospel. But I was zealous toward God. Even as you stand here today condemning me, none of you were zealous as I was. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. It didn't matter. I gave no quarter, no deference. And also, you can go talk to him now if you want to. The high priest doth bear me witness. And everybody around him, the estate of the elders, they all knew, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren and went to Damascus, went far away from Jerusalem to drag these people back, bound unto Jerusalem for the intention of them being punished. That was then. But when it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Now, Paul was not searching for God. He was not searching for Christ. He was pursuing the opposite. He was going to persecute this way. He was a rebel against the true and living God, though he thought he was the servant of God. He had no qualm of conscience, no conviction of sin. He's filled with hate and malice toward the way of Jesus Christ. He despised him. He rejected him. He thought him a heretic and a false prophet. And then this light shone. And I fell onto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I didn't know him, nor did I know what had happened to me. So I answered, Who art thou, Lord. The one thing I did know about him is that he was above me and he was powerful. And because of this great light that affected me so, I knew it must be the Lord. So I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Though I knew it was the Lord, I didn't know who the Lord was. And he said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." Can you imagine the effect upon his mind and his heart? Because he was going to persecute them and destroy them and kill them and punish them for serving the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And he is going to destroy them. And all of a sudden, this light knocked him down. "Who are you?" "Jesus of Nazareth." Fear gripped his heart. This one has come to me. See, he didn't know. He didn't know that Christ had come to him to save him. In his mind, he must have believed that Christ came to him to damn him. It's interesting what Sharpman said on the video. We serve an angry God. How many people would believe that? Who's angry at sin? The greatest sermon that was ever blessed in the first great awakening, and if it had not been for the first great awakening, there would be no United States of America. In fact, a German historian named Ludwig von, it's not Mises, but Ludwig von, well, anyway, I'll come up with it in a minute, said that John Calvin was virtually the founder of America. That indeed, then here's a German theologian historian saying this, not some American historian. But the greatest sermon in that day, Ludwig von Leopold, the greatest sermon in that day in the Great Awakening was Jonathan Edwards' sermon out of Deuteronomy, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And God used that sermon so magnificently, so powerfully, that people began to weep. And they got under such conviction that many of them, as it was said, would hold on to the back of the pew, lest they that moment would slip into hell. These are not fairy tales. These are not preaching points. These are realities. Can you imagine what Paul must have thought when he heard that this was Jesus of Nazareth? And they that were with me, they didn't have the same experience. They had an experience, but it wasn't this experience. They were near the experience. They knew something had happened, but it didn't happen to them. They saw the light of it. And they knew something had happened to such a degree that they were fearful of it. This is not something you experience every day. Indeed, we need to get used to that again. We need to get used to the idea that salvation is not something, the salvation of sinners is not something we experience every day. It is a supernatural power from heaven As surely as light shining at noonday to block out the noonday sun, so bright it made the sun seem dark. And you notice it knocked him down. No one is ever saved from a high place. You're only saved. We were only saved from a low place. And that's why preachers, true preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, must preach the law in such a way that it drives men and women low before God. That you would dare stand before God thinking that you would be accepted in Him. No, it would be this true preaching of the gospel when it grips our heart is as much as it gripped Paul's heart when he was going to destroy those that worshiped Jesus of Nazareth. And it was Jesus of Nazareth that met him in the way. Who met you? When you were living your life contrary to God, thinking that you were pleasing God and that He must be pleased with you. Who met you? They didn't know, but I knew. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" Emptied of self, completely devoid of what you were going to do. He couldn't keep going to Damascus, could he? He couldn't, though he had letters from the chief priest, he couldn't do that. He couldn't continue to go in that way because he had met Christ. So now he's empty. Now he's aimless. Now he's confused. Now he's ignorant even of his own life from here forward. So here's the cry of every sinner that is knocked down by the light of the gospel, that is stripped naked before God, whose former life now is meaningless and can no longer be pursued. Here's the obvious question: what shall I do, Lord? It's directed to the Lord. Not just some kind of inquiry. Not some kind of inquiry to anyone that may be listening, or inquiry to self, but to the Lord. And the Lord said to me, "Arise, go into Damascus. And there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." This is stunning. It is stunning not in what it says, but it is stunning in what it doesn't say. It reminds me when Peter was on the rooftop there, you see, in Simon's house. And an angel came to him. And told him to go to Cornelius' house. Because the same angel had met Cornelius. And what did the angel say to Cornelius? "Go get Peter." Why didn't the angel just tell Cornelius the gospel? He didn't. And here, even more astounding, here is Paul before the Lord, or now as his name was Saul before the Lord? The Lord spake to him. He heard him. But when it came to the gospel, he told him to go and find a man. That's how the gospel is preached. It is not revealed by angels, nor is it revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself showing up in some kind of miraculous way. I've heard all kind of people talk about how Jesus came to them. I remember John MacArthur telling the story of this man who said that he was shaving. And as he was shaving, he looked in the mirror and Jesus was standing behind him. Jesus had appeared to him. And MacArthur said, well, I've just got one question for him. Did he keep shaving? Or we know of people that say Jesus came to them. I don't know why it's always in a bathroom, but these people that Jesus came to him while he was taking a bath. Or Jesus came to him with this and that or another. But it's interesting, you see. Jesus did come to the Apostle Paul, but he didn't tell him one word of the gospel. All he told him was, obey my voice and go hear a man. It is men that propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is preachers anointed by God, selected by God, appointed by God, gifted by God to preach this gospel. And it is through the preaching of the gospel that men are saved, you see. Not through the vision of angels or even the vision of Christ himself, but through this gospel of Jesus Christ that God has given to men to preach. And you see, God forbid that I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is how men are saved, you see. I didn't come to you, Paul says, with the excellency of man's wisdom, the eloquence of man's speech. But I came to you preaching the gospel, which is the power of God to them that believe. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So Paul is giving them testimony. This is what happened. I told you what I was then, and I'm telling you when Christ met me. And when I could not see for the glory of that light. Last thing Paul clearly saw in this world was the glory of that light. But he's still blind, you see. In fact, now he's more blind than he was before he met Christ and before this light and its glory shone. In fact, he was so blind that the hand of them that were with me had to lead me. I continued to Damascus, but for a totally different reason now, and one, Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him And he said, the God of our fathers have chosen thee, and thou shouldest know his will, or that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, and thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. How do you see the just one? How do you hear his voice? How do you know what you will and should be from that point on? Through the preaching of a man who is preaching the will of God. And now, why are you tarrying? Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Those that believe that being baptized saves you miss the last phrase, don't they? Calling on the name of the Lord, the one that has called you. You are now calling on him. Baptism shows you what had to happen in order for you to become a Christian. Christ had to die, be buried, and raised again. Baptism also shows you what has happened to you, the experience of new birth. Not by the works of righteousness, as Paul writes to Titus, that we have done, but by the washing of regeneration by the word. It would be very good if the Church of Christ would learn that. You were not saved because you got in baptismal waters. How many people do we know that's gotten into baptismal waters and they went down a wretched, rotten sinner and came up a wretched, rotten sinner? Just wet. You know, something better happened before, even as I preached with my own grandsons. Baptismal service, and I preached. You see, something has to happen before the baptism, this physical baptism, something has to happen. That has to be a spiritual baptism. That water will not wash away your sin. That water won't wash away your sin if you stayed in it a million years and used a billion bars of soap. No, it's supernatural. And we're telling the world the then, the when, and the now. The now begins with the baptism. You're telling the world, this is the experience that happened to me. I was cleansed. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other thing I know but the blood of Jesus. Calling on the name. Is that what happened? Who met you? Where did he send you? What was the gospel you heard? Did he call you How am I to know? Because now you're calling him. And it came to pass. So here's the now, the then. What were you then? When did it change? Now. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, that I saw in a trance, or I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. And I even kept their raiment. They laid it at my feet. And he said to me, depart. I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now they listened, and then they hated him more. Then, when, and now. Now he stands as a witness. They didn't receive him then. They're not receiving him now. Even as the Lord said. And they will never receive him. Paul never had a revival at Jerusalem. Paul had to escape Jerusalem initially. And we will read later in the next chapter, he'll have to escape again. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The Lord crying over them, how oft would I have gathered you together? As a hen does her chicks. But they would not. They would not. Let us not be Jerusalem. Let us be Damascus. Let us be Antioch. Let us be Ephesus and let us be Galatia. And let us be Macedonia. And Athens and Greece and Corinth and Rome. Oh Lord, help us not to be Jerusalem. How many times he birthed the very church in Jerusalem. And now they will be destroyed. For the Lord said to them when he was dying, when he was carrying the cross to the hill of Golgotha, and they were weeping. He says, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. For if this thing be done in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry? May the Lord be glorified. Because we who are in this church truly. Had a then, had a when, and you're having a now. You don't have to look back to see if you said the right words or did the right things. Here's what you need to do is look at your life now. Where do you stand? And what are you doing? If you are alive, you must have been born. If you were born, then now you're alive. What must I do, Lord? Be a witness. Share the experienced gospel to all that you get opportunity to speak with. Looking to the power of God for their salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you.